This is Truth with Grace, the radio ministry of Grace Baptist Church. We're so pleased you've joined us today as we continue our exploration of the truth found in God's Word and the grace of salvation. We're continuing our series with Pastor Pierre Rosa entitled Jonah and the Compassion of God. Jonah's been on quite a journey, but God is certainly not done with his rebellious prophet. He's using divine discipline to reshape Jonah's heart. If you know anything about precious metals, you know it requires a refining process to take rough and ugly metal ore and turn it into something pure and special. The heat of the refining fire is intense. That's what it takes to burn off the waste materials and leave only the best behind. God's doing the same kind of refining on Jonah and on us. The before and after picture of Jonah shows how difficult circumstances can grow us into becoming the obedient servants of the living God. If you have a Bible, we encourage you to follow along, and you can find the sermon notes for this message at our website, gbcsalem.org. My name is Brian Schmidt, and I'll have more information for you at the end of the broadcast. For now, let's listen to today's message from Pastor Pierre and the book of Jonah.
If you had your Bibles, open them to the third chapter of Jonah. We're going to read from verses 1 through 4. The first thing we notice in the process of refinement here, the blessing of divine discipline, is God re-enlists Jonah. In verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now we've already determined that if we were in charge of that project, Jonah would have been gone. Not so with God, because God is a God of compassion. Now, that does not mean that God has to do this. He's not obligated to do anything for Jonah or for you and me. He acts according to his own nature, and he owes explanation to no one. So he will be compassionate on whom he will be compassionate. It doesn't mean that this is a pattern. However, the character of God compels him to extend a second chance to Jonah, because he's a God of kindness. In fact, he's a God of loving kindness, and he's slow to anger. Later, Jonah recognizes that. So we know for a fact that God is giving Jonah a second chance here, and because he's a God of loving kindness and slow to anger. Listen to God's own definition of himself here, of his character. And in Ezekiel 18:23, he says, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked?" declares the Lord. "Rather than that he should turn from his ways and live." And that's exactly what we see in operation here. God is compassionate. He wants people to come to repentance. He wants people to recognize their evil ways and turn to him. He's using Jonah for that purpose. And now Jonah himself is experiencing that blessing, the blessing of divine discipline and refinement of character here. So, based on what we learn from the character of God, he's not obligated to do what he's doing here, but we know for a fact that God gives several chances to several people while they're still alive. How many chances did you get before you turned to God in repentance and faith? Think about that. God gives people while they're still alive several chances to recognize him. Paul describes that in the book of Romans in the beginning when he says, "Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made." You look at nature, you see, oh, there's a creator. I know for a fact that this could not have just popped into existence. Somebody created this. You look at a picture. I love art. I love looking at pictures. And the first thing I see when I look at a picture is the character of the author of that picture. Why? Because somebody with intelligence designed that picture. Same thing with nature. We look at the trees here in Oregon. It's a very green state. And we are exposed to the nature, to the creation of God. We see there's a creator. Somebody must have created this. We look at our own lives, our own conscience, the way we are so intricately designed, and we see, okay, God must have created me. So God gives people several chances to recognize him in God is giving Jonah here a second chance because he's a God of compassion. So, God re-enlists Jonah. But notice in the second verse here of chapter 3 that God recommissions Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, Go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. Did you notice that the same three imperatives happened again? The first chapter, God told Jonah, three mandates, arise, go, and preach. He arose, and he went to the other side. But now, the mission is the same, nothing changed. The risk is still the same. What changed is now Jonah has been transformed by the power of God. And we see here three imperatives. Arise, go, and proclaim. Same ones as before. And church, what are imperatives? They're not suggestions. They're mandates. We talked about the Great Commission here. It's not the awesome suggestion. It's a Great Commission. Same thing here. God is giving Jonah his message again. He reminds him of his mission. That's how he re-enlists the prophet. So in the first half of verse 2, we see that he reminds him of his mission. It's a clean slate for Jonah. It's a clean slate for an unclean prophet and a sweet aroma to God. Now, we are reminded here that God will not change his plans in order to accommodate for the unfaithfulness of his people. Did you catch that? God will not accommodate, he'll not change his plans just because his prophet was unfaithful. Just like he will not accommodate the 21st century church because of her apathy, negligence, and disobedience. The mission of the church has always been the same since the day that Christ ascended into heaven and he told his disciples, now you as representatives of my new program here called the church, you will be my witnesses. So listen to a case in point. When Christ writes to the church in Ephesians in the book of Revelation, I have this against you, he says, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds which you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. So God's ordination here for the church has always been the same since that time, and he will not accommodate for the unfaithfulness of his people. And it's always good for us to be reminded of our mission as well. So let's review, church. Our mission is not to entertain people. Our mission is not to lobby for social justice or to save the whales or appease Mother Nature or raise awareness for global warming or promote political parties or even promote my personal favorite topics or anybody else's for that matter. We exist for the only purpose of bringing glory to God by making disciples of Christ, because that's our mandate. This is always going to remain the mission, whether we are engaged in it or not. Think about this. God could have zapped you into heaven the moment you became a Christian, and you would have been in eternity forever. But instead, he gave you the chance to stay here on earth so that you can win as many people as you can to Christ. If I live to be 80 years old, I have 40 more years to do that. And it's such a joy. Think about this. Not even the angels get to proclaim Christ. This is a responsibility and a privilege that we get to be involved in. There's not going to be any witnessing in heaven, folks. So our mission is this. And the reason God is reminding Jonah of his mission, the Bible is reminding us of our mission as well as a church. We are to make disciples of every nation. Now, why does God do that? Constantly reminds us of our mission. He knows our nature. He knows that we have a short attention span. We get discouraged easily. It's easy for us to lose focus, especially if we are facing with opposition, criticism, and danger. We tend to lose focus. So the Word of God reminds us of our mission. Now, unfortunately, I know of churches that have drifted so far away from their mission that they no longer resemble a church. They're no longer resemble the household of faith. They're more like social clubs. But our mission is very clear here, and we shouldn't lose focus. Just like Jonah has been transformed and refined, God is transforming us and refining us for the task ahead. God recommissions Jonah by reminding him of his mission. But now listen, he reminds Jonah of his message again. The second part of the second verse, Jonah, as you will remember, is not the originator of the message. He is the carrier of the message. He has no right to change the message to make it more appealing to the people in Nineveh. In fact, God didn't give him the message right away. He says, you will proclaim the message which I am going to tell you. Did you notice that? The first chapter, he says, you cry out against Nineveh. No details. Now he says, arise, go and proclaim the message which I am going to tell you. God doesn't give him the exact message at this point, because he knows that Jonah will be tempted to flee again if he gives him the message of condemnation to the Ninevites. So God, in the process of re-enlisting and reminding his prophet of his message, give him information on a need-to-know basis. And how many of you know people that need to know every detail of God's plan for their lives before they decide whether or not they're going to obey? I have met seminarians that have that attitude. They say, I need a 5-year plan before I make sure I'm going to obey God. And you may meet some people like that too that need every detail. A 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, how God's going to take care of this detail, how God's going to take care of that detail. But friends, God's economy doesn't work like that. God wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. He wants us to trust Him one step at a time. You get the information you need for now, and then once you start being faithful to God and obeying God, He will provide everything else you need. But you need to walk by faith, not by sight. That's exactly what God is calling Jonah to do. You need to walk by faith, not by sight. So therefore, just be on alert for the message I'm going to give you. But for now, I want you to go. So he got up and he went. And then God revealed to him the message. We are servants, folks, not superstars. We don't need all the details. We're devotees, not divas. So God will give us the information of his plan for our lives whenever he believes it's the right time, when we're ready, when he's refining our character. Incidentally, you remember the disciples, after the resurrection of Christ, had the same, or at least a similar issue, when they were gathered with the risen Christ, and they asked, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And you remember Jesus' answer to them was like this, it's not for you to know. Instead, I want you to go and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will be my witnesses. So what you need to know is this, it's not for you to know the times, the restoration of the kingdom of Israel is going to happen later. He's probably talking about the future millennial kingdom. But he's saying, you need to wait for the Holy Spirit. Then you will be empowered. Then you're going to go and be my witnesses. That's what you need to do. And that's what happened. God reminded Jonah of his mission. And God reminded Jonah of his message in the process of re-enlisting him and also in the process of recommissioning the failed prophet. But take a look at the result. Here, again, we're looking at a man who has been transformed by the power of God. He has been through the refining process here because his faith is more important than gold for God. So God is molding his character. And what we see here is number 3 in the 3rd verse, the fearful became faithful. The fearful became faithful. Listen, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Finally, Jonah acted according to the word of the Lord. It's about time. This was the opposite than what he did a few days ago when he arose and went the other way. Now he arose and went according to the word of the Lord. Obviously, there's a lot more work to be done. In chapter 4, he's going to throw a temper tantrum. He's still fearful. He's upset that God was going to save such wicked people. But at least he's obeying him for now. But think about this. The word of God came to Jonah a second time. The word of God came to us permanently. You have the final and complete revelation of the word of God. We don't need anybody else telling us that they have an extra revelation from God. We don't need anybody else telling us that they have a word from the Lord unless they are preaching from this book. We have in the word of God everything that we need. From Genesis to Revelation, we know the beginning and we know how everything is going to end. And by the way, we are in the winning team. Did you know that? We have everything in the middle. It takes a lifetime to understand this book here. Why should we worry about extra revelation? The word of the Lord came to us permanently, and the word of the Lord tells us what we need to do. My encouragement to us this morning is let's spend time studying this book. It's a precious word of God. It came to us permanently. People have given their lives so that we can have a copy of the Scriptures. People have burned at the stake so that we can have a copy of the Scriptures in our hands. It's not hard to understand our mission. Our mission is easy to grasp. It's hard to follow. We know that. Our flesh gets in the way. Our fear gets in the way. But I promise you, the more time you spend understanding the mind of God, reading the Word of God that came to you permanently, you will fall in love with this God, and you will want to do and you want to follow Him because you want to get with His program. That's the nourishment for our souls. That's how we grow in faith. And if you're fearful, you will become faithful. Here's an example of the kind of faithfulness I want for my life. Martyred missionary Arthur Francis Tai Lee, known simply as Tai by his friends, was a Harvard student in the 1920s. He wanted to follow his parents and become a lawyer. So he was studying law at Harvard until God started to touch his heart. And then the more he studied, the more convinced he was that he was supposed to go to the mission field. So he took time to pray and seek God, and he decided to drop out of Harvard and join Moody Bible Institute to get trained for missionary work. And he graduated in 1922 and soon after arrived in Brazil with Inland South American Union. One time, Tai's cousin warned him not to go to the tribe because of the danger of being killed. And here's what he replied, quote, "I have nothing to do with how long I shall live. I am in the will of God. If He sees fit to let me live to complete the language and to present the Lord Jesus and His power to save, I shall be happy. If not, His will be done. Do you not know, dear cousin, that a grave often speaks louder than life?" He was a pioneer missionary who made great progress with reaching the Yambikara tribe. And he was there for a few years until the natives started to suspect that he was responsible for an outbreak of flu in their region there. So they blamed him and the rest of the missionary team. And they ambushed him and his family one day and clubbed him to death. And they killed his daughter as well. His wife, Ethel, survived the massacre and lived to tell the story. And many people in the U.S. and in Brazil accepted Christ, the Christ that Tai died proclaiming. His grave speaks louder than life. Speaks about his faithfulness and the kind of character I want to imitate and the power of God to turn a fearful man into a faithful man. Do you not think that he was fearful about going into the tribe? Did you not think I was fearful about coming to Salem? But by the grace of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. And God has been good to us. And God will be good to you as well when you let Him refine your character and let Him mold your life. Jonah finally demonstrates that kind of faithfulness here. Then we see that he was finally ready to go. And he went and preached the message. So as a result of God working in his life, the blessing of divine discipline, the refining of his character, the fearful became faithful. But also notice in the last four verses of our text here that the coward became courageous. Listen to these words in verse 3. "Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown.'" God finally gave him the message. After God saw that Jonah would fulfill his mission, He gave him the message and He proclaimed the message in Nineveh. He is facing his fear head on. The message or the mission didn't become any easier for him, any less dangerous, but he went on and preached the message. This was probably a summary of the message when he said, "Yet 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed or overthrown." It's a very short message, so it's probably that he preached a little more than that. This was a summary of the message, and it's also very likely that deliverance to the Ninevites would be conditioned upon their repentance. That's why the 40-day grace period. And in fact, church, I really believe that Jonah preached the gospel in Nineveh. The death and burial resurrection of a future Messiah. The salvation is in no other name. He had time to rehearse that in the belly of the fish. See, Jonah probably preached a coming Messiah. We preached a returning Messiah. People got saved in the Old Testament the same way we get saved today, by believing in Jesus Christ, believing in the Messiah. Now, we looked backwards on the cross. These folks here probably look forward to the cross. And Jonah had time to practice that, had time to rehearse. In fact, especially when Jesus says the time Jonah spent in the belly of the fish 3 days is typological of his death, burial, and resurrection. So I am convinced that Jonah actually preached the coming Messiah to the Ninevites. And as we will see next time, they actually responded to the message, not by killing Jonah, but by turning to God. So what we see here is a coward, a cowardly man becoming very courageous because of the power of divine discipline, the blessing of divine discipline. Does anybody else come to mind when you think of a cowardly man becoming a courageous preacher? I think of Peter. Peter denied Christ. You remember the story, right? And later on, he became a powerful preacher and a leader of the early church. So God turned a coward man into a very courageous preacher. What was God's treatment in Peter's life? He allowed him to fail. Then he allowed him to see the risen Christ. But what's God's work in your life? Has God allowed you to fail him? If you are in God's timeout right now, keep this in mind. God is turning you into a very courageous servant of God. He wants to take that opportunity to make you into a very courageous person. That's the kind of man I want to be. Obviously, I don't want to be crucified like Peter was, upside down, but he paid the ultimate price for his faith, and yet that didn't deter him from preaching the gospel. And Jonah was not deterred from preaching in Nineveh. That's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of courage I want to have. And that's the kind of courage I want for all of us here at Grace Church. God re-enlisted Jonah. He recommissioned Jonah. And as a result, the fearful became faithful. And the coward became courageous. So let's embrace God's work in our lives. Because God uses discipline to mold and refine our character, we should welcome His work in our lives. Yeah, we don't like it. It feels like an eternity. It feels like we are in the furnace. We're being placed in the acidic solution of suffering, and we don't like it. We resist and we fight. But God knows what He's doing. If you find yourself in a situation like that, whether you are in timeout or God placed you on a bench so that He can better equip you for ministry, be encouraged. Get ready to be re-enlisted. Because God wants to use you for His honor and for His glory. He doesn't have to use you just like He didn't have to use Jonah. He could have risen another prophet just like that to accomplish His purpose. But He wants to give you the opportunity to serve Him and to honor Him with your life. Think about this. If you're younger than me, you have more than 40 years to serve the Lord. You have the rest of your life to serve the Lord and honor Him with your life. If you're a little older than me, maybe you have 30, 20, 10, 5 years to serve the Lord with all your heart, with excellence, with devotion, with humility of heart and brokenness and being ready to be equipped by God. He wants to use you, I promise you that, based on what we learn about His character and based on what we learn from the Word of God. So before we close our Bibles today, I want to leave you with two thoughts. Number one, God wants to enlist you in His service. Maybe He hasn't called you to be a pastor. Maybe He hasn't called you to be a career missionary, but I promise you, He called you to something. He has a plan for your life that involves serving Him. It will require you to walk by faith and not by sight. You will not know every detail of God's plan in your life, but maybe you have a desire in your heart to reach a certain people group. Maybe you have a desire in your heart to go to seminary, or maybe God is placing the desire in your heart to have a career that's going to honor Him. Don't ignore it. Pray about it and consider the fact that God wants to enlist you for His honor and for His glory. It'll be our joy here at Grace to train you for that ministry because we know that God's going to get the honor and He will be glorified. The second thought is God wants to equip you for His service. So He wants to enlist you, He wants to equip you. And part of the training, folks, will involve removal of impurities. I guarantee. If there's something in your heart that shouldn't be there, God's going to take care of it. So that's why we pray and say, Lord, search my heart. See if there's any evil ways in my heart and purify me.
Removing the impurities from our lives requires a spiritual refining process. It involves pressure and heat we sometimes think we won't endure. But we don't endure it alone. God's right there doing His special work in our hearts. That's all the time we have for this week. If you have questions or comments about this program, please feel free to contact us by email. Our address is radio@gbcsalem.org. You can also find out more information about our church and this radio ministry, including information on how you can become a financial supporter of Truth with Grace, by visiting our website, gbcsalem.org. And remember, if you're ever in the Salem area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday services. Family worship begins at 10:45, but come at 9 if you can and join one of our small group Bible studies. We're located at 4197 State Street, just east of Lancaster. This broadcast is provided to you at no cost through the generosity of financial and prayer supporters of Truth with Grace. Please feel free to share it, but please don't charge money for it or edit it in any way without the written consent of Grace Baptist Church. Until next time, this is Truth with Grace.